checking in on Foxconn on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 3 years ago this week, we learned Foxconn would build a manufacturing plant in Wisconsin.
One of the truly great companies of the world will build a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility for the production of LCD panel products in Wisconsin, investing many, many billions of dollars right here in America and creating thousands of jobs.
President Trump unveiling the news Foxconn would build a $10 billion factory. What questions do you have about Foxconn's footprint in Wisconsin? Do you or someone you know work at the Mount Pleasant facility? What does your job entail? What's your reaction to the Foxconn jobs report? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. Arthur Thomas covers manufacturing for BizTimes Milwaukee. Arthur, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So Wisconsin lawmakers had offered up more than $2.8 billion worth of incentives back in 2017 to lure Foxconn. It sparked lots of criticism that the state was giving away too much money. Has Wisconsin paid out job credits to Foxconn yet?
So far, no, they haven't paid out any tax credits on either for job creation or for capital investment. Foxconn missed the jobs threshold in 2018. I think it was about 260 jobs they had to have. They were somewhere in the 100 range, 170 maybe. So this year, though, it seems Foxconn may have hit the job threshold, so the possibility they're paying out credits, but nothing paid out so far, at least on the tax credit front.
So there was recently a jobs report. A company said it hired almost 800 employees in 2019. What did we learn from this report?
Sure. So actually this spring we got an initial kind of look at the report. Foxconn was required to file annually a report with the state saying how many people they've hired, how much they've invested, things like that. And so as you mentioned, yeah, 800 employees hired or their 800 employee entries. The company said they thought about 550 would qualify for jobs tax credits. The threshold being 520 for this year to get any credits. So that the difference there is people either leaving before the end of the year, transferring between different entities, things like that. And really, they got to that number with kind of a late hiring surge in the year. About 70% of the people they hired last year were in the fourth quarter and December specifically. So they kind of ramped up hiring at the end. That got them to that number. They paid out around $18.9 million in wages, according to my math from earlier this year. You can't count all of those towards the jobs credits. Anyone who makes over $100,000 per the contract doesn't get that amount above $100,000 doesn't count towards tax credits. So that's about 30 employees that the amount comes down. A 17% tax credit on about $16-17 million, they're around $2.86 million in tax credits potentially for the job creation this year.
$2.8 million at stake on the jobs credits. So, what is the status of the 2017 contract agreement with Foxconn? Where does it stand?
Sure. So, and the report you mentioned that we just got was kind of an audit of that was required in that contract. A third party group is supposed to come in and look at Foxconn's payroll reporting and their capital expenditure reporting and kind of see if it's up to snuff. The report was, you know, initially supposed to come 45 days after Foxconn filed. So that would have made it due in mid-May, as so many other things these days. Coronavirus delayed it, or at least that was the explanation that we got for why it was delayed. So it came out, it was due by July 14th, I believe it was.
And is this the report by Deloitte?
Yeah, this is the Deloitte report.
Okay.
That kind of takes a closer look at, you know, what Foxconn told the state back in April and goes through it and things like that. So that report's in, and now it's in WEDC's hands to kind of figure out if they're going to pay out tax credits for what Foxconn did in terms of hiring last year, in terms of their investments. So the big question is whether, I mean, the threshold looks like Foxconn hit the numbers to get, you know, tax credits, But the question is whether the work they've done, the people they've hired, meets what was laid out in the contract, which does include some kind of really specific language about what the company was going to be doing. And the company is not doing that specific thing anymore.
And making LCD panels.
Making LCD panels, and specifically the contract references what's called a Gen 10.5 LCD fabrication plant. So this would have been a plant designed at its most efficient to make really big LCD screens. Think, you know, like 85, 90 inch television screens or bigger. They, you know, by 2018 had moved away from making this, you know, building that plant. That plant would have come with a bigger capital investment. It would have required a Corning glass plant to be on site with the Foxconn plant, which would have been a potential $1 billion additional capital investment that wasn't covered in the initial announcement. So this was kind of like the added bonuses that we were supposed to be getting.
You needed a product supplier to be there in order to facilitate this product.
Yeah. I mean, the glass that they use, my understanding is it's so thin and it's such a big screen that you can't really cost effectively transport it, you know, any distance other than to really have it on site with it. So instead, they're building what's a Gen 6 plant is what they've said, which they say gives them more flexibility. It can more efficiently make smaller screens, think laptops, maybe displays in cars, tablets, things like that. Gives them more product flexibility is why they said they've gone after this. Plus, there was kind of a glut of those big screens on the market over the last few years. So they're, you know, that shift, though, the contract references that Gen 10.5 plant specifically. And so now they're building something different. So are they living up to their end of the contract is kind of the question that's out there for WDC to try and decide whether they're going to, you know, verify these tax credits, the $2.8 million that I mentioned. And then really the bigger part is the at least now, the capital investment that Foxconn has made around $280 million worth, which with a 15% credit would be another $42 million in tax credits that's potentially available to them right now.
And we're talking with Arthur Thomas, covering manufacturing for Biz Times Milwaukee, getting an update on Foxconn and its plant in Mount Pleasant. And you can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Arthur, as you say, in the hands of WEDC, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and their secretary, Missy Hughes, what is the state at in the process of negotiating perhaps a new contract?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, it sounds like there's been kind of ongoing discussions or at least exchange of letters of kind of who's, you know, where, which position each side is taking on this. We haven't really gotten any kind of update on where contract negotiations might be at. WEDC really doesn't like to comment on ongoing negotiations. It was actually unique during the Foxconn process back in 2017 that we actually did get kind of some updates. I mean, usually if they're negotiating a contract, we don't hear anything from them. And that's kind of what we've gotten so far. But it's, go ahead.
What do we know about the investments that have been made by Mount Pleasant and Racine County to spend millions of dollars to help lure Foxconn to update roads, sewer, water infrastructure, to buy up land for the plant? How much has been spent there?
I don't have the exact figure offhand, but it's significant. It's in the hundreds of millions. I think the numbers that have been tossed around, you know, people talked about a $4.1 to $4.6 billion all-in investment for Wisconsin. So that counted the tax credits and then all the other stuff that's been spent on. So, I mean, anyone who's driven down 94, which I do quite frequently, you know, it's nice to have a wider highway now that, it, you know, most of that work's done. And I've been fortunate to avoid most of the shutdowns. Usually. So, I mean, that's obviously a big investment that was done by the state and with federal money. But yeah, hundreds of millions spent on buying up land, and lots of people had to move out of their homes. And some people, you know, kind of really against their will and kind of almost forced out. So there's, you know, that side effect to all this work.
All right. So we got news last month. Foxconn is partnering with Medtronic to make 10,000 ventilators. What's going on with the ventilator situation rolling out of the Mount Pleasant facility?
Sure. So, you know, like a lot of companies, so Medtronic, you know, a medical device maker, kind of did open sourced their ventilator designs. And Foxconn jumped on that and said, hey, we'll make that. We haven't maybe gotten a clear picture of, you know, how much they've ramped up the production. But we do know actually from the audit that Deloitte did, they included a survey with employees and kind of what project are you working on currently? And that was one of the ones that a lot of employees did point to that they're working on is figuring out how to make, you know, these ventilators and ramp up production. They've got to figure out sourcing, finding parts. It's kind of the same story we've seen kind of across manufacturing. You know, there's the number of different joint ventures, GE and Madison ramping up production, finding these parts to do this. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to ramp up manufacturing supply chains to make things, you know, make more of these. So they're working on that. They're also making masks down there for distribution. I think they're also selling some of those. So they're, you know, trying to contribute in some way to the COVID-19 fight.
Getting up to speed on Foxconn with Arthur Thomas, who covers manufacturing for Biz Times Milwaukee. How do you want to see the Evers administration working with Foxconn? What about its contract? Are you confident that Foxconn and its Mount Pleasant facility will be a net positive for the state, or do you have doubts? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Arthur Thomas on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're catching up on Foxconn news. 3 years ago this week, the deal was announced that Foxconn would build a $10 billion factory, create thousands of jobs in Wisconsin. Fast forward to last month, we learned Foxconn would start manufacturing ventilators at the Mount Pleasant facility for Medtronic. That's the medical technology company based in Ireland with operational headquarters in Minnesota. What questions do you have about Foxconn's vision for manufacturing here? Do you work for Foxconn? Are you working at the Mount Pleasant facility? What's the job like? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Arthur Thomas covers manufacturing for Biz Times Milwaukee. He stays with us. Let's take a call now. Christine is joining us from Eau Claire this morning. Hi, Christine.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention that the governor has asked state agencies for different give backs, money in their budget. And at the same time, we're talking about giving tax credits to a corporation, a capitalist corporation. It's just, we shouldn't be doing it. It was wrong in the first place. And it's just clearly a reason not to do these sorts of crony capitalism projects, because as a state, the tax money that they should be giving us, we're giving back to them. I mean, it really makes no sense.
Christine, thank you for the call. Arthur, there was criticism in 2017, and it's still lingering today, that the state was giving away way too much money here, and now amid the pandemic, as states cut their budgets.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's an interesting point. You know, I think in some ways, you know, the numbers I was talking about earlier, the 45 million, while it's a large number, you know, in terms of what they could have been eligible for. I mean, one of the points, supporters of this would make when it was being debated was this is an earn as you go kind of setup, that they, you know, they hit thresholds, they earn based on number of jobs. So that part seems to be working. But you know, yeah, like the caller said, you know, the budget situation is certainly going to be challenging going forward. I think the question is, you know, the state's in a contract now. So can you get out of that contract in a, you know, a cost-effective way? I mean, everyone probably remembers the high-speed rail. issue when Governor Walker came in, and there was a, you know, a lawsuit over exiting that contract. So I think that's kind of lingering as, you know, a potential issue. If the state wanted to walk away from this completely, how much would they be on the hook for otherwise?
What would those ramifications be?
Yeah. And also, you know, I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, I haven't, just anecdotally, it doesn't seem we're getting as many announcements about these tax credits under Governor Evers for obviously much smaller projects. That could be just not, you know, it's tough to make an apples to apples comparison, especially for the last 6 months where projects maybe haven't been moving forward in the same way. But be interesting to look into whether he's, you know, awarding, WDC is awarding as many tax credits under the current administration as it did under the previous.
Christine, thanks. Let's bring in Jimmy now in Valley Junction with a question. Hi, Jimmy.
Morning. Yeah, I was, you know, they were touting all these high-paying jobs. I can't remember the exact number, but I thought $50K was thrown around. And I was wondering how many jobs are really there and what are the pay demographics?
Jimmy, thank you for that. And I know initially, as Jimmy says, I think there were even thrown out 13,000 job creation numbers.
Yeah, so 13,000 was the promised number. That's how you get to the $2.85 billion in tax credits, is if they were to create all those jobs and to invest the $10 billion. Actually, I think it's $9 billion to get to $2.85 billion. As far as the actual number of jobs, I think it's about 580 employees were hired as of last year. The company said it believed 550 of those would qualify for job credits. I don't have an actual average wage number for you, but so they paid out about $18.9 million in wages, and about 16.8 of that qualifies for tax credits. So, you know, tough to say exactly what the average wage is. I don't have it right at hand, but that gives you a sense of some of what they're doing out there. It's obviously a long way from 13,000, but it's, you know, progress in the right direction compared to where they were in 2018 when they didn't even hit the threshold for any credits.
Arthur Thomas is a reporter for BizTimes Milwaukee. He covers manufacturing. We're getting an update on Foxconn and its plant in Mount Pleasant. Arthur, there were lawsuits filed in 2018 over the Environmental Protection Agency's decision to exempt much of southeastern Wisconsin, including Racine County, from ozone regulations. Can you fill us in on the status of lawsuits?
Sure. So that one in particular, so EPA was going to designate much of southeastern Wisconsin as not in compliance with ozone standards, and then kind of at the last minute, reversed course and said, no, we're just going to designate these kind of small strips in Kenosha, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, and Sheboygan counties. City of Chicago, Illinois, and Killeen, Wisconsin were among those who sued. And some of the emails those groups got during that process kind of suggested maybe there was some political pressure for the EPA to make that switch. And, you know, there was scientists saying, you know, I'm going to need help figuring out how to word this so that it, you know, it passed muster. During the course of the lawsuit, EPA asked for a chance to go back and provide more explanation for the court on why it made the designations it did. Last month, the court ended up granting that request. The Wisconsin DOJ had said, no, you know, they shouldn't get another chance. They had their chance. Where it goes from there, it's a little unclear. That, I mean, EPA's actions could, I think, include anything from, you know, adding a little more documentation to the record up to kind of a redoing the full rulemaking process with public comment and several, you know, different periods to stretch out. So the immediate impact for Foxconn, if it were, you know, obviously the project is going already, but if those ozone standards were to be put in place, it might make it more costly for future expansion or limit future expansion type things that the company might do down there. But they already got their air permits to build what they have now. That's where we're at on that.
Mary from Milwaukee would like you to address the controversy of the water pollution issue with Foxconn. There was plans to divert 7 million gallons a day from Lake Michigan. Where does that stand?
As far as I know, they're still diverting water, the building out the infrastructure to draw on Lake Michigan water. They've, said they're going to clean it, as much as possible. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know, as the plans have evolved, how that impacts how much water they're going to need. It's really interesting.
If we would even know what amount of water they do need right now in the manufacturing they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the process they have now, the things they're doing, they're making ventilators, they're making masks, they're working on building servers for various clients, they're doing printed circuit boards. It's not the LCD manufacturing that was going to be as maybe water intensive as what we were initially getting, but that part of the project is still coming. That's the million square foot building there. If anyone looks at the aerials that Kurt Waltz does on Foxconn, at Foxconn Aerials on Twitter, that big building is the million square foot fabrication facility. And so that would be the one that might be using a lot more water. I mean, it's really interesting that property really actually sits right on the subcontinental divide, which determines whether you're in or out of the Lake Michigan basin. So I don't know the latest, but as far as I know, they're still building out the infrastructure to draw on Lake Michigan water.
Very quickly, what's the latest on the innovation centers that were supposed to be in Milwaukee, Green Bay, Eau Claire, Racine, and Madison?
Yeah, and I think there's been, reporting by a number of people. I think Corey Hess from WPR has actually done some work on this, in terms of just the lack of activity that's happening there. And it makes sense in some ways. Their contract doesn't really incentivize them to build those out as fast as they initially said they were going to. There's maybe a little evidence that things are moving in Racine. They've drawn some permits for it, build out down there for a tenant, but not a lot of activity happening. And what they said in previous years was up to 1,000 jobs would be outside of that Mount Pleasant campus at these innovation centers.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Arthur, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Arthur Thomas covers manufacturing for Biz Times Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.